Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to the next episode. I'm here with Harry. How you doing, man?
Very good, thank you, mate. You all good?
Cool. Yeah, I'm good. Have you noticed anything different about me today?
No, I haven't. Sure. Have a good look. Mind you up and down now.
I'm hydrated. I'm going through a new
I can really tell.
To my health regime, and then I've decided that I'm going to cut down a little bit on like coffee and stuff, and I'm deleting milk from my diet. I'm going to go dairy-free for a little bit, and I'm drinking a lot of water. And I'm also, I think the thing you might have noticed is that I'm extremely tired. Some of it might be the reduction in the coffee, but also the dog woke me up. Let me talk you through this properly. The dog didn't go to sleep until 12:30 last night. Barking. It's just like, this is driving me mad. And then I decided that my reduction in coffee would start today also as well.
So you've had the double whammy then.
Also been to the gym this morning. And 2 hours down the gym, so I'm flagging a little bit. So the show might be in your capable hands today.
Oh, it's been passed over. This is pressure coming on now, isn't it?
So I thought I'd make some new little subtle changes to my life.
Yeah.
All right. So I think just to try and add some value for our listeners, because most of the feedback from our Spotify listeners has been, can you give us some value, please?
Okay.
You know, so like, how do we get better at golf? You know, and you particularly, you've gone through this nice little. Improvement purple patch, let's say, and I've plateaued and stayed the same, so I'm making some adjustments. So to provide value to our subscribers, of which 25% are from the United States of America.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
You've got big demand over there.
Yes, huge.
That's great.
So I thought I'd talk to you about what some of the subtle changes I'm doing with my regime to try and make my golf better, but also to make me better as an individual.
Okay.
Yeah, because it all sort of intertwines, isn't it?
It does. Are we having a midlife crisis here?
Yeah, 100%. I'm buying a motorbike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, cool. I'm going to get a tattoo like you. I'm going to get a little onion on my leg like you've got. Oh, it's a dumpling.
It's a dumpling onion. It could be anything you want it to be. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos, actually.
Okay. Well, maybe we can have a bet when we go away on our golf trip next.
That would be the sign of the midlife crisis, wouldn't it? If I just get like a skull and crossbones on my arm.
I mean, if that's what you want.
I don't want that, no. Okay, right, so I'm going to talk you through my changes and some of the stuff that I've been doing, because I said last time on the last episode, I was doing a little Project 300 update. So the Project 300 thing is, because I don't hit it very far, I'm trying to hit it 300 yards, and I haven't documented that journey very well. But the stuff that I've been doing very, very well, I've been gym 6 times a week, I've been strength training, I've been weightlifting, I've been doing cardio, I've been doing kettlebells, I've been doing all of that usual stuff. I've also been in the sauna 5 times a week. I've been getting in the cold shower every day. I'm doing an awful lot of stuff. And my diet has gone to pot a bit recently, because I was trying to put some weight on and stuff as well to help me with my golf and things like that. So diet's gone to pot, so diet's back on.
Okay.
So I'm black coffee.
Yeah, milk's gone.
Hydration.
But milk's good for you though, isn't it? We need milk.
Yeah, but what if I have like 8 lattes a day, man?
Yeah, but you'll look like me.
Will I?
You'll be short, Asian.
Is that what happens, is it?
That's what happens.
If I drink 8 lattes a day, I become Asian.
No, we need milk though, don't we? Unless you're obviously...
Well, we need milk.
Allergic to milk, then...
I was just reading up a little bit about, like, because I do also like to, like, nip to Starbucks and Costa and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
so they're the unhealthy ones now, aren't they?
So that when you... Yeah, I've just got... That scared me a little, because like, I think the volume of that is also killing me as well. I also remember a rain delay at a PGA event once, where I had about 18 bloody lattes before the game, and I would get on the first tee, and I couldn't put the ball on the tee, and it was, like, really, really shaky.
Yeah.
So I'm deciding to cut back down on that, and then... with all these little micro improvements to my life, I'm going to feel like that's going to have a positive effect on the golf.
It takes some time. Obviously, the problem you've got is if you're having less coffee, you're going to eat more.
Oh, am I?
I'm quite
hungry.
Yeah, I mean, the problem you have is obviously the caffeine takes over.
Oh, right.
I mean, you can survive on caffeine within reason.
I'm actually really, really hungry as well.
So, because obviously, usually, like, if you're hungry now, you have coffee, and that'll buy you through for a few hours, but now you're not having that, you're having water, your body wants something, so you're actually going to eat more now.
Right.
So, there we go. Okay. Catch 22.
What's your go-to, so before you go and play in a golf tournament, what's your go-to like thing to eat before you go and play? Are you your typical turn up and have a bacon bap kind of guy, or do you get something in the car on the way?
I'm terrible. Like, right. I'm obviously, I did a lot of work with KP, our good friend.
Yeah.
Keep all the sports psychologists. Yes. And bless him, I probably ruined his life, really, trying to deal with me. Mm. No, we're good friends still, which is good. But I tried to follow that stereotypical route of let's train, let's eat properly, let's do this. I couldn't do it.
Right.
I just couldn't get there. My routine for a round of golf will be, I'm probably hungover because more than likely we'll be out the night before from our golf trip. It'll be, full English, bacon back, coffee on the go, and out we go really with it all. I don't have that routine, set food on the course as well. I'm not one to be picking at nuts and fruit, which we should be.
See, I like that though. Like, I'm mad about the nuts. Mm. I like that. Dried mango.
I like
a bit of that, like, on the way round. But don't get me wrong, you stick a Mars bar in front of me, I'm going to plough that.
This is it. I think, obviously it's the small gains, isn't it, that these good pros have.
And that's not too many of them eating Mars bars.
No.
Or Snickers, but Twix. What's the ultimate pro shop snack when you say it's a Mars bar?
Can you remember the old bars? I was thinking about this the other day. I think they were called golf bars. And they were big, chunky bars.
They were like 500 calories.
They were great, though.
Yeah.
I want to try and find them again. I mean, when I first moved into the studio here like 3-4 years ago, I had loads of them. And now you don't see them anywhere because obviously they're really unhealthy.
The reason for that is that everybody that ate those died.
Well, I'm still going.
Well, you're hanging in there.
Still going.
Yeah, I had good bars, they were. Yeah, they were expensive as well. They were like expensive, supposed to be nutritional, and it was, I don't know, I might be bad mouthing them a little bit here, but I think there was a fair amount of sugar in them.
I wonder if they're still going. I'm going to try and find them. Okay. They were good. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. I mean, the protein bars are all the way to go now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Your grenades and kind of things. They're pretty good.
I always look at those sorts of things because I'm a sucker for buying those sorts of things at the petrol station.
Yeah.
And I think, well, this just tastes like chocolate. Like, it tastes like a nice chocolate bar to me here. What's the catch here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that feels like it's a healthier option for when you're out on the golf course and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Most people tend to flag, don't they, when it gets near the end of the round. So they get to the 14th, and we hear this as golf coaches quite a lot, don't we? Like, it all started off quite well, and then it all kind of went wrong, and then people do say, oh, I started to get a little bit tired towards the end of the round. So I think hydration, as boring as it is quite a big deal, isn't it? And nutrition does help quite significantly, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few factors, isn't it? I think boredom creeps in as well. Right. I think golf goes on for too long.
Yeah. You're a 6 holes kind of guy.
12 holes, I think.
12?
I think 12 holes you can play, and I think it's always you get to 12, 13, and there's always that chat of, oh, it's only 5 to go, it's only 4 to go. And obviously the common golfers that we get here is, I can have a beer soon. Yeah. We're almost in. And it's you should be thinking like that on the golf course, but that's what we do. And I think that's a sign of it's too much. Nobody ever plays 18 and goes, oh, I could play a few more holes.
Do you think, have you ever played some golf courses where you play a links course and it's 9 holes out, 9 holes back? And
Burnham and Barrow is a good one, isn't it? So that is all the way out.
So you're all the way out, and then you're kind of, you don't ever get near the clubhouse, do you? So you're not sort of tempted to like think about walking in or doing anything. You know, when you're out there, aren't you?
Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere and you've got to venture your way back in.
Mm. Those courses are fun when it's windy as well, isn't it? So, which is always windy on those types of golf courses, but it could be all downwind front nine and then all in the wind back nine.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal golf courses.
21 points front nine, 6 on the back. Hey, about that. So you played Trevose, yeah?
I've played Trevose. I love Trevose.
Trevose is a really, really nice Linksy style golf course in Cornwall. And I played in the Cornish Festival 1 year and I started off birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie. I think that's the order of it.
Yeah.
Third's par
4,
five.
Par 4, par 5, par 4.
Oh, it's par 3. Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, it's par 3 on the third, three. Isn't it? Third's par 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I shot 80.
Yeah. Easily done.
I shot 80, having been 5 under after 4 holes.
I think I remember that. I mean, it depends on the wind, doesn't it? I played the Southwest week. That was my first ever when I was 17. Mm. The county. And I remember there's a par 4 there. I can't remember what hole. Day 1, we all drove it. Day 2, driving through, we still didn't get there.
Wow.
And it's like you say, that wind can switch, and it's a different golf course. Every time you play it, it's different. Yeah. It's exciting.
It is fun, isn't
it's
it?
Good. It's good. It's fun.
I'd much rather play in wind than rain. Like, I'm not a good rain guy, and then I don't know if you know, but I don't ever play with a glove on. I've never played with a glove. I'm not a glove guy. And I think I suffer for that in the wet. And I don't go out in the wet socially to play golf. If it's raining, you won't see me out there. But if I was out there and I had to be out there, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to struggle now.
I'd be injured.
You'd be injured, yeah.
If it rains, I'm injured.
Yeah, okay.
That's the one. But I used to wear 2 gloves.
Did you?
If I did have to play in the
Who's
rain.
Who's the dude that wore two gloves the other day at Wentworth?
Aaron Rye.
Yeah.
He wears two gloves all the time though, he wears.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, there is obviously a reason. I don't know what, but there is.
Cold hands.
Cold hands. But those rain gloves are great. Mm-hmm. I won't play golf in the rain now. So I've avoided it for 2 years and I'm hoping to continue that. The last time it rained and we had to play as La Manga, wasn't it? We went last year
it did
and
rain
I didn't play.
Yeah.
Well, I think we played three holes and we called it a day. I was like, nah, I'm not doing
it. Yeah, I played 18.
Yeah, everyone else did, but me. Couldn't do it. But no, the rain gloves are great.
They do work well, don't they?
The wetter they get, the more grip you've got.
Yeah, they do work very, very well.
No issue about keeping things dry and undercover. You just embrace the puddles then, which is quite cool.
We've got that to look forward to now, haven't we?
We do. Hopefully not the rain, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't rain in Morocco.
In Morocco it doesn't. It's going to be lovely, isn't it? Rain for 2 years, it's going to rain all week the time we go there, isn't it?
Doesn't. No, I suppose, yes, in the UK we've got the wet weather to come. Although October's promised to be pretty good,
is it?
From weather forecasts and the comments that I get.
Okay.
I've heard heatwave shouts, as we get every month.
Oh,
yeah, heatwave. Always, no, not quite. But we got winter golf on the approach, on the horizon. Although it means Shore Golf has released the pre-launch for winter gear, which is exciting.
Yeah, well, that's it. All the pro shops now are full of all that gear now, aren't they? Feels like easy
jackets, jumpers. That's it. Polos are on their way out.
I was going to change the subject and I was going to talk to you about YouTube.
Okay.
Because Tiger Woods famously said about a week or so ago is when somebody said to him, if you could give some amateur a bit of advice to get better at golf, what would you do? And he said, stay off YouTube. What do you think of that? Bear in mind, we never agree on anything.
No, we don't, do we?
No. What do you think about
what
he said?
I think YouTube is the worst thing for golf.
Do you?
However, at the same time, it's the best thing for a golf coach.
Ooh, okay.
Because there's no one swing fits all. And I say it to my guys there, go and watch YouTube, crack on. But you will learn 10 tips about the same thing that makes no sense.
Okay.
And most amateur golfers don't know what their golf swing looks like. So they're trying things and they don't know why they're trying things.
Yeah.
They're trying it because they're told they will never hit a bad golf shot again.
Yeah.
And it's always the pros that do these videos that are influencers.
Mm-hmm.
That film this 100 times and make sure they've got the right cut.
Yeah.
So it's fake. And this is what people don't like. It's always argument. So-and-so, I'm not going to name names, so-and-so, he's really good. It's like, well, he's hit that shot 5 times and you can see the divots start to change in the video. And the tips are great because you can pick them up, but I just think it ruins your golf game.
Interesting. Okay, so we might agree a little bit.
Okay,
we're
blending together now.
So I say to people, because a few people will say to me, oh, I've been watching YouTube, and they say it like that. I'm going to tell them off. And I say, what I say to people is like, go and watch it because it is actually quite entertaining, but view it through a lens of this may not be relevant to me. So if you enjoy watching, this is my advice to people, is if you enjoy watching YouTube, watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you don't want to feel like you're missing out on stuff that could be useful, because I've watch YouTube tutorials on other stuff outside of golf, because it's basic. Face it, I know everything already, and I'm already decent at golf. Yeah, would that be fair to say?
Well, you know what you're talking about. You know what you're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So,
you study.
So I wanted to learn certain stuff. So I'll give you examples. I can play guitar, but I was trying to learn certain things. So I've looked at some tutorials for that, and I wanted to learn how to do muscle ups, which you do when you do a pull up and you get over the bar and do like a little tricep push. Like I learned the technique from that.
Do you think there's only one method for a pull-up in theory?
Oh, but it was mega helpful because like that was all about the hand position.
Yeah.
And the timing of when you lift your knees up. So I was trying to do it from a poor hand position. So I think, let's say you've never had a golf lesson and you just grab the club, would you say most people grab it instinctively weak in the left hand? You don't care about grip, do you?
No.
That's the point of having this conversation.
No, sadly not. I wouldn't even know.
Okay, so I think people that slice it, this is my opinion of it again, and struggle with it, and you look at their left-hand position, and they tend to slice it a little bit. I think there are YouTube videos which would be useful to that golfer in terms of setting their grip up, which could affect their club face angle, which could affect their ability to hit the ball a bit straighter. So I think there are some quick wins. You don't agree with that?
I do and I don't. Because I do. It can be helpful. I agree the fact you can Google, YouTube, how to do things, how to pull up, how to bake a cake, how to do this. But in theory, on those methods, there's one correct way of doing it.
Mm.
Like a pull up, it doesn't matter what size you are.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if you're 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 foot.
I would argue if you're 600 pounds, it might be difficult.
Yes, obviously, it can be tough, but you know what I mean? The method is still the same. The technique is the same. You know, with golf, the method's always different depending on who you are. Our arms are different lengths, our legs are different lengths, our bodies are different. So the setup always changes.
Yeah, I watched an interesting video this morning actually on Instagram, and it was posted by the Ryder Cup, and it was the European guys all teeing off.
Did see that video? Yeah.
And it showed you all of their swings, and they're all so wildly different.
Yes.
And if you, I think if you said to a beginner, who's the world number one there, or somebody that just played it for a bit, they look at the prettier swing, and not that we have the world number one, I think, in there, but John Rahm was up there for a bit, wasn't he? And his swing probably doesn't look the most pretty.
John Rahm, he might still be world number one. I don't think so. That's really bad info from us, but I think he's still up there or there.
Yeah, okay.
Who else is up there, if not?
I don't know.
I think it could still be Rahm. Whoever's listening, please tell us who world number one is.
He was definitely there for a bit, but point being, anyway, his swing doesn't look like... maybe yes, but I like it. I think his swing is great. And a short, simple, powerful suit. And but I think to as a swing to copy, you wouldn't necessarily copy that action. And going back to YouTube again, the thing that I don't like about it is when people describe certain videos that they go, right, try this hack.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any hack. Because hack means this is a shortcut to your success. I get that there are some quick fix things that can help you a bit, but there are no hacks in golf. Everyone wants a shortcut, don't they? Yeah. They want to get better really, really quickly. But I don't think there is a such thing as that.
Yeah.
And the people that try the hack is like, oh, okay, now this is might work or it might be horrendous.
This theory, you watch that one hack, you watch another one, you watch another, and you come to the range with 6 or 7 different attempts.
Mm.
And you try it once.
Yes,
this is what I said to my guys in the lesson. You're going to hit 10 to 15 bad shots guaranteed when we make a change.
Mm.
So embrace it. When you do that at the range with a hack, you hit one bad one, go, no, it doesn't work. And you move to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with it, is they think, oh, my problems are solved.
Mm.
And you've had lessons, I've had lessons where they come in and go, I watched a great video. Yeah. They're so excited and they try, it doesn't work.
Mm.
And then they're so disappointed again.
Yeah. I tell you what, I did a really good hack the other day, though. I saw a video come up and it said, try this hack, right? It was a golf one, but this is good, right? So there are some hacks that are good, but not for golf, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to hoover my car out, and I bought, because I'm a sucker like this, one of those massage guns, you know, like the Theragun type things.
Yeah, I've seen this video.
So I got one of them, and then I went to hoover the car out, and you put the gun on, and then you put it on the carpet, and all the dust comes up.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I'm going to try that. So I got the Hoover out, got the Theragun. That was a good little hack. That was a good hack.
Maybe that's what they were designed for after all. The massage guns.
To be fair, like I...
No, actually, for massage.
Have you ever tried one? Have you tried one?
I have done, yeah. They're not great. I don't enjoy it.
I put it on my head. And it was not... actually, there's a warning on it. You shouldn't do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever put the massage gun on your head.
You're not allowed to header a football anymore, mate.
So, apparently not.
No. Putting a massage gun on your head is probably not smart.
so that was a hack that worked quite nicely.
Yeah. There are some out there, and I think you can get lucky, and guys have obviously learned to play golf off YouTube, which is great. Yeah. And I think YouTube has helped the development of golf.
I think it's helped with certainly getting people set up really well.
Let's definitely not take that away. And there's some great videos. There's takeaway golf tips.
Yeah.
There's some awesome kind of series and videos out there.
Yeah.
Some guys working pretty hard on good content, which I like. I do like that. Tubes is a great one. I think his content's fantastic because he's a modern day golfer.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Not edited in the fact of it's good shot. It's he's highlighting the good and bad of golf.
Yeah,
and that's what I like.
Mm.
I don't like the videos where it's good shot after I'm a pro, I'm so good. The reviews by this, because as people don't know, or hopefully they will know, these reviews are, they're being paid to promote the product.
Mm.
They don't think they're great, they don't use them, and it's false advertisement.
Mm.
And I think that's what they need to crack down on the world of YouTube, is it should still be advertising correctly.
I think like the club reviews by amateurs is quite interesting, but I think it's interesting if you've made a video of a tour pro, an average pro, a low handicap, a mid handicap, high handicap, but all hitting a club to kind of review it. Okay, they might have slightly different specifications with the shafts and stuff and what have you, but to get a bit of an overview, particularly like, see, the guys that are reviewing the forgiving clubs don't need the forgiveness.
Yes.
So I think the market for somebody to do reviews. I don't know, that person may exist already. Does that person exist?
Possibly does. I know it's in Golf My Spy. I think they're the guys that I also follow quite a lot because they're not biased. You know, they test it on their lovely computer and they set the swing speed and the standards. So I think you get a little bit more of a legit response from that.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of these influencers, they've been paid. You know, a lot of these guys have deals. You know, I have done in the past with certain brands. You know, I need to push it a bit. And obviously you're going to be biased because that's what you use. But when you actually look at these guys' bags and what clubs they're using, they're not using the club they're telling you to buy.
Yeah.
And that's a flag. Big, big red flag.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So that's the big one that really annoys me on YouTube. Kind of on there.
So you get people to watch it, but then maybe with a warning of like, okay, this may not apply to you.
I'm all up for watching it, go and learn, because a lot of golfers do understand a lot more.
Do you quite like the... I don't watch any, really, or I have done, but like the course vlog type things, I think people quite enjoy watching that, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of guys that I take on the golf trips, they watch them before. I'm taking three of my good friends to Portugal in 3 weeks. Obviously, I've been there quite a lot, so I know the courses, but they've all been posting the flyover videos of the courses, and they're quite excited. They're like, oh, this course looks great, there's loads of water. So I think they're really good.
Yeah,
I think for guys that are really passionate golfers, for me personally, I'm not really that bothered. I quite like to enjoy the course when I'm there.
Yeah.
I just walk it around the old-fashioned way. But no, I like it, definitely. I think it's great. It's nice to see the course that you're playing, isn't it?
Okay, so this week, golf. We just had the Solheim Cup.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch the Sunday because I was busy.
Yeah.
What was I doing? I was actually playing golf.
Oh, you were playing? You had a family golf on the day,
Sunday,
didn't you?
So yeah, I did a little family golf thing. So I didn't watch the Sunday, but I did watch quite a lot of the Friday and the Saturday.
Yeah, I watched the Sunday.
Yeah, so what do you think?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think it's great. Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, the fact we were 4-0 down after Friday morning was madness, but also the fact that they've come back and obviously we drew, didn't win the end, which was exciting.
Yeah.
Some of the girls played unbelievable on the Sunday. I can't remember her name, that's terrible, but the Spanish lady was unbelievable, and she definitely won that for Europe, or brought it back. I mean, she was good
through the whole tournament.
I think she played against Lexi Thomas, I think.
Yeah.
Lexi Thompson, one of them there. Terrible. I think she must have stiffed it, it's like 5 foot, and on this, she then put it inside, like a foot, and then still stiffed it again. Yeah, to do that under the pressure of the last few holes, unbelievable. And I think coming back to kind of ladies' golf, I think it's been overshadowed. And I think that's the sad thing.
Well, because the Ryder Cup's the week after.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, if the men's team were 4-0 down in the morning and McIlroy had done what that lady did, it would plastered everywhere about how great Europe is, how great McIlroy is. He's the next best thing, and it's all been forgotten about. Obviously, the Ryder Cup's gone in now, so the Solheim Cup has been forgotten. There's nothing on Sky Sports now. There's no updates. There's no news about it. It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is sad, in my opinion.
I think it's trending in the right direction. I do think it's getting trending in the right direction. I've got a bit of a theory on this because I'm a big ladies golf ambassador, as you know. So
you
I do
are.
Quite a lot of stuff to try and get more ladies involved in golf. Whilst I don't watch a lot of ladies golf, I don't watch a lot of men's golf either. That's just kind of nature of what I do. It's just like, I'm not sure all doctors watch Holby City. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm the same.
I don't watch a lot, but I do watch a few majors and stuff. And I've got a bit of a theory on it. Because ladies golf isn't on TV as much, I don't think you have as much time to warm to the characters of it. Because I think watching golf on TV, it means more when you're kind of getting behind a player you like.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a bit of time to warm. So I likened this to somebody recently on somebody else's podcast, which was... that, let's say, I don't watch EastEnders, but let's say you get a new character that comes on it. Very few people would warm to that character early on. It kind of takes a bit of time. Maybe like a WWE wrestler, nobody's going to like that character straight away. It takes time just to build up. And I think it's the exposure of it. Like something like that event, the Solheim Cup, you would have watched some of their performances and become a fan of some of them.
Without
a
doubt.
You know? Like some of the shots that they did where you think, bloody hell, that's a real pressure situation and they've thrived on it and they've done really well. You think, wow, I like the courage that that person showed. And then you start to warm to it. And then you might pick two or three players that you really like to follow.
Yeah.
and then go from there, because I think it needs to mean something, because all the shots are so bloody good, aren't they? That it's just like, okay, well, you're just watching good shot after good shot. What does it mean? And I think a lot of it is the exposure.
It comes to marketing, doesn't it? End of the day, and obviously it's the same as the ladies' football. It's on the rise, same as women's golf. It just needs that marketing aspect and the sponsorship, and it will keep growing, and it is growing, which is great. And yeah, I mean, the crowds were big over in Spain for the Solheim Cup.
That golf course was great as well. I really loved that. So I think, just off topic slightly, but that first hole, which is like 280 or something like that over water, how good's that?
Great hole.
It's so much better than it being 450 yards and it's a driver and a wedge. But isn't it better to have like some holes like that, which, rather than making the golf courses really, really longer and stuff and whatever, that's just really entertaining to watch, isn't it?
Risk
like
and
trying
reward,
to drive the green.
Especially for match play.
Yeah, first hole of the day. How good's that?
Yeah. Well, Bryson did it, didn't he? I think last Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
I think he played at Garcia in the States, and Bryson drove for green down the first. And the roar that you could hear
that
from
was
America
was
just, and obviously Garcia's going, I've got a game on my hands now. But that's excitement you need in match play.
Yeah.
It's not stroke play. No one cares what you're shooting, and these boys do shoot silly scores in match play, but it's, let's make birdies.
The match play, are you a better match play golfer or stroke play golfer?
I'm a stroke play man, because I'm boring golf. I've been a boring golfer. This year's been a little bit different, so it'll be interesting.
You're a birdie machine now.
I prefer match play.
Yeah,
I think it's a much more of a technical game against your opponent. So you don't worry about par. You don't worry about the course. You just beat your partner. I don't make many birdies. That was the problem I had as a golfer. I was always a boring 16 greens in reg man, three putt here, three putt there, and I've shot two over. And it's, well, cheers.
I'd say that's changed now.
It's been better this year, has done, but I prefer match play.
Golf started as match play.
It really golf, did not know that.
Yeah, so golf started as match play. It was play an opponent versus a score, and then that came later down the line in terms of the format. So match play preceded stroke play. So I think club golfers, that where people say, oh, their handicap's too high and they're a bandit, they get knocked out by somebody in the match play, those golfers aren't always the best in the medal. Because, you know, they've gone par, birdie, par, 10. And then on the medal, that's them finished.
Yeah.
But in match play, well, it's like, okay, well, I'm still two up.
This is it.
Versus, you know. So, okay, so Ryder Cup prediction then.
Ryder Cup. It's changed a lot, actually. I thought the Americans were well and truly.
Okay.
Well and truly take us over. However, going to Wentworth and watching the guys play, the new youngsters that have come involved are looking very handy. They look fearless.
Yeah.
I think the issue Europe will have is they've lost the regular faces because of LIV golf.
Right.
I appreciate your Westwood, your Garcias, your Poulters aren't the standard that they should be or used to be.
Yeah.
So I understand that they probably wouldn't get selected. But there's some big personalities that you're missing. I think Poulter's a massive miss.
He was great. He was great for the Ryder Cup.
He's missed the Ryder Cup, and I don't think he'd play a lot. But even being a captain or vice captain, you miss that excitement. Obviously, Rose is there, obviously, which is great. But he's a very tame person anyway.
Yeah,
he's a good
experience.
He's
had some good performances, hasn't he, in the Ryder Cup in the past.
He's not the guy that's going to get you riled up.
No.
And I think that's the Poulter, Garcia, Westwood era. So I think that's going to be new. It's a new team.
It when some of those golfers that you see as being quite quiet emerge as being like, oh, you don't normally see that from them.
Yes.
When they get into that format. It's really, really interesting, isn't it, to kind of see how their personalities are different in the team environment to their individual stroke play kind of heads.
Definitely.
So in terms of you picking a winner then, what are you saying?
My pick, I've gone back and forth. I'm still going to go America.
Okay.
I still am. For reasons, no real major factor. I just think the Americans play together a little bit more, and I just think they've got the better golfers,
in my
personal opinion. I think they'll be up for it more than we will, just because of that backroom stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But who knows? We're on technically home soil.
Yeah.
And then this home and away is different, because have we got any Italians playing?
No.
I think we do. So we're not actually at home. I know we're in Europe and we'll have our fans, but we're not actually at home at all. So I think the Americans will. I think they need to win the Ryder Cup anyway. They've only got one LIV golfer in there, but I think he's probably one of the best golfers in the world.
Which is who?
Brooks. Brooks is playing, and he qualified because he kept winning all these majors.
So Dustin Johnson's not playing?
He didn't get picked, no.
Right.
you know, no other live golfers are. But no, I think the Americans will. I think they've lost that, was it the Tiger Mickelson era where it was individuals? Because I mean, Tiger was terrible in the Ryder Cup.
He wasn't great, was he?
No one could play with him. No, like, how could the best player in the world be that bad in the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
But I think they've got more of that team dynamic now. And yeah, I'd like to think they'll get on. But I think it'll be close. I think it will be.
I think it's going to be close, and I think it will be quite exciting to watch. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are you going for?
Two or two sets. it's just somebody bursting in.
We have an intruder.
Who are you going for?
Is that our guest?
I'm going to go Europe, because I do think... Is that our guest? Yeah, yeah. Who am I going for? I'm going for Europe. And I think, actually, I think it's going to be quite convincing.
Okay, you think so?
So I think we historically rely on coming back in the singles, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I'm going to predict that we're going to be pretty even after the first day, then substantially up after the second day, and then come midway through the singles, it will already finished and done and dusted, with the last four or five groups not needing to get anything.
Well, I like it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to leave you this one, though.
Okay, hit me with it.
So, Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup happen back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
A few options of how do you make golf more accessible for everybody.
Make a mixed one.
Two options. Right. First one, run them at the same time, same venue.
Okay.
Ladies, men's. Get the ladies out. They do their stuff. Men's follow. Gives the spectators more groups to follow.
Okay.
More excitement.
Yeah.
Still Team Europe, Team America.
Mm-hmm.
Got both.
Don't think it can happen because of, like, the time, can it? Like, you've got enough time to, like, because they're doing 36 holes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's only four groups.
Four groups.
Per event, so maybe 80 times, if you double it.
80 times 40. Would I do that?
It'd be tight, but I think you could. I think you could.
It would be very interesting, let's say.
You've nailed it on the head. The final one is mixed one.
Run a mixed event.
Why can't you have half a team of women, half a team of men?
That would be really cool, wouldn't it?
Foursomes would be great. Four would be better ball.
That would be great.
Singles.
Yeah.
Drawn out the hat still. Completely.
Well, I need to think about that.
Yeah. I think it'd be great. I think it'd be good for golf. Yeah. And I think it would really boost women's golf.
I think the running at the same time would be strange. I think because I think, firstly, the TV would want to have two separate big events.
Yeah.
And I think you could only have the same amount of spectators probably. So from a financial point of view, I think it would make more sense to have two events so that
you could have more spectators, there's more groups.
But what about the space for the people?
Yeah. You think but obviously the space at the moment is everyone's all on four holes, aren't they?
So yeah, that's true.
If the first group on Friday is everyone's on four holes. If that's spread across eight holes. Mm. Not technically, you can't have double the amount, but you've just got more room on the course.
I was thinking about actually, like, imagine you're, because the grandstands on the 18th are normally quite good.
Yeah.
But if you go to the Ryder Cup or the thing, you might not see anything.
That's it.
Just imagine being like, you get a little ticket and you're like, yay, here we go. And then you just sit on the 18th and don't see anything.
There you go. Could happen.
Lol.
Yeah, strange one. Maybe the mixed one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that sounds interesting.
I mean, they've done a few mixed events, haven't they, in the DP Tour, I think.
Right.
They have done a couple.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great for golf.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Good. How do we make that happen, Harry Shaw?
I don't know, you're Mr. PGA.
Okay, cool, right, leave
you
that with me then.
Just give him a call and
see if we can get it done. Yeah, all right, cool.
I think it'd be good. Great event. I'd watch it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoy watching the Ryder Cup. And we very much hope that we're able to provide you with some kind of value from that.
Welcome to the lives of the South.
What should people do on Spotify?
What do you mean, what should people do on Spotify?
What should they do, now? Like, they've listened to our podcast.
Well, they listen, don't they?
Well, no, they should click the follow button. Right.
There you go. You've been told by Mr. David Bartlett.
Make sure you follow us on Spotify.
Follow. We still need a name for our show.
Yeah, we'll get to
that. So follow the No Named Podcast.
Yeah.
There we go.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll be here. Enjoy.